The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes they're friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies
from the 90s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The movie that started the golden age of SNL cinema. And then they rode that wave high by bringing us other bangers like It's Pat, Blues Brothers 2000, and, you know, Stewart Saves His Family. That fucking gem.
The hit movie that launched Mike Myers into A-list movie stardom and Tia Carrera into, hey, remember that girl from Wayne's World? She was cool.
The movie when you're like, huh, Mike Myers is like looking at the camera and giving a thumbs up and like talking to the audience and stuff. That's funny. But now you're like, ha, Mike Myers is just fucking looking at the camera and giving a thumbs up and talking to the audience. God damn it. This is Wayne's World on Blockbuster Nostalgia.
Hey, blockheads, and welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia. We're the movie podcast counting down the biggest hit movies of the 1990s, one by one. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
And today we are talking about a movie that's near and dear to the hearts of, I would say, any man between the ages of 30 and 40.
Yeah, probably like anybody that was born in like 1975, like 1975.
Anyone so from 1975 to like 1988.
Yeah. Anybody born around that time. Damn it, if this movie isn't just a slice out of what it was like, what the characters were like at that time.
Yeah. The characters that you either knew or desperately wanted to be were all featured in such movies as Wayne's World.
Airheads.
Airheads was another one, certainly.
Encino Man.
Yeah.
The Weez.
Sure.
The Weasel. Yeah. So, because this is 1982, this is movie.
Yep.
This movie brought in $121,697. By far the most successful of the Saturday Night Live movies. Yeah. Million, yeah.
By a great deal.
Yeah.
A great margin. $7 million,
Jesus. Yeah, by far the most successful, even more successful than the second one, which we both agreed is just as good.
Yeah, I think the second one's really funny.
Yeah.
I think it has a lot of great moments, all the stuff with the dreams and fucking...
Yeah, and Jim Morrison.
Jim Morrison. And
the concert and all that. I mean,
all the stuff with Heather Locklear is really funny. All the stuff with like the fucking Charlton Heston bit.
Yeah,
Fucking
Kevin Pollak's eyeball thing. Yeah, actually, yeah.
It's really good.
Might be better than this one.
It's at least as good.
At least as good, yeah. Which never happens.
Yeah, very rare.
I think we talked about that during the Addams Family episode when I was like, part two, just as good as the first one.
Yeah.
Because they did the bits right. They didn't drive the bits home. Into the ground, I mean.
They at least came up with new, like,
it's like
new twists.
New, like, meta bits, but they were different than the original.
And then new twists on the same bit where they're like, all right, yeah, we had that bit where, like, for instance, in this movie, we have the bit where Garth has the red rope dispenser.
Yeah.
And the second movie... He finds the girl that's also obsessed with Red Rope, and looks just like him. And it's like, oh, cool little, like, expansion of the universe.
It's a weird, because in this one, like, his dog looks like him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then later, like,
it's the girl. It's like Thanos showing up in Avengers, and then you build on that. You start throwing more, you know, Infinity Gems and bullshit in there. Yeah.
I think if they would have made a part three... That would have not been good.
No. I mean, well, we saw it with Austin Powers.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. That's a perfect example of running that joke into the ground. Austin Powers 3 runs all the jokes from the first two into the ground.
Yeah, and the only parts of Austin Powers 3 that are really good are the parts with Tom Cruise and Danny DeVito.
Yeah, which is the first five minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
Which
has really nothing to do. It's really more of a parody of the first Austin Powers than anything else. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But every joke from the first two gets just like fucking ran into the ground.
Yep.
So you make a part three of this, Mike Myers were probably done exactly.
Oh, I'm
that.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, this movie, when I rank the SNL movies, Wayne's World is still, I think, number one.
Mm-hmm.
One, and then to me, Wayne's World 1, then 2, then Blues Brothers.
I have a very deep and long-standing love of Blues Brothers.
Yeah.
So I
love half of Blues Brothers.
I know you're not, because all the music and stuff like that, but I really like the music.
I saw it as a kid.
Yeah.
So I was just like, where's the funny stuff? Like, they're just playing for an hour now.
Yeah.
And no, it's I get like it. Blues.
Yeah.
But like,
I get it. They take a break from the jokes to do entire concerts. I get
yeah,
it.
Yeah. 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 It's also like bar blues, not like blues, you know, like blues kind of had a weird, it developed weird. It was like blues was just like a blind dude mm-hmm. in a bar singing about sad shit.
Sure.
And then eventually it was a guy with a harmonica in a bar singing about banging chicks and yeah. being drunk and stuff like that. Like it just, it like changed. The blues changed. I don't think you should have called it the blues anymore.
If they're not, being actually sad.
Yeah. They were just wearing sunglasses.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, Sweet Home Chicago is pretty fun. Like they're really sad.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
At least their version of it.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So I don't know if we should call it blues anymore.
Yeah.
But Wayne's World came out, I think, at a perfect time. Mike Myers developed the character for Second City, right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
And developed the character for Second City, and it was just him. It was just Wayne.
Right.
And it was just a slacker character that he was seeing everywhere, which those guys were fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
And it was the hair metal guys that were kind of slackers and, you know, like, funny, but they were just, like, you know, it's what the like, yuppies hated.
Yeah.
And they hated the yuppies.
Yeah.
And, And then, you know, they obviously add Dana Carvey to it because he was way bigger in SNL.
Because
than
Dana
fucking
Carvey, yeah.
And
because,
he's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, Dana Carvey was added to every SNL scene in the early 90s.
Oh, my God. From, like, 89, maybe, like, 88 to, like, 94.
Yeah.
Dana Carvey was added into every fucking skit.
Yep.
First of all, he's very funny and can do impressions like
of everybody.
Madman.
Yeah,
exactly. But second of all, he was so big that, yeah, you would just add him into. So they added him into Wayne's.
I mean, one of my favorite bits that David Spade talks about his time on SNL is him coming up with his Ross Perot impression,
right?
Knowing that, well, Dana's playing George Bush, so they got to use me as Ross Perot.
Nope.
Doing it for the dress rehearsal and then getting cut out as Dana Carvey played both characters and they just looped the video.
Yep, they just added, they just kept the video of him from far away.
Yeah.
So they can both be in the shot.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, no, Dana Carvey was a superstar at this point, which is really funny because then Mike Myers is the one at Wayne's World that
right,
explodes.
Blows up.
Yeah. And then you know, you get obviously.
Well, Wayne's World 2 and then
Powers.
Austin Powers, yeah, and then Shrek. And
Yeah. And then, you know, the Love
the
Guru.
The Love Guru, sure. And then his, what show? Didn't he just do a show where he played a guy? It was like a talent show?
He did like the Gong Show.
The Gong Show,
where he played the guy
from the original Gong Show. Yeah.
And he was as that guy, which I actually think is pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad, Mike
Pretty
Myers.
Clever. Like,
a good
way to go. He just played another British guy.
Yeah.
That was actually pretty funny. He also did So I Married an Axe Murderer, which I also have. It's also near and dear to my heart.
Good movie.
Also very fucking 90s, that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. And also very meta. Like, it kind of parodies a lot of shit.
Mm-hmm.
This movie is half a straight comedy, half a fucking parody. Like, it's super self-aware. Obviously, they talk to the camera the whole time. Just a cool, interesting choice to do, like, oh, this is... Because the bit on the SNL is they just have a public access show from his basement. That's it.
Right.
They never leave the basement. They never, like, do anything, you know, outside of that. So the whole thing with the movie is like, oh, what do they do the rest of the time?
Right.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, the SNL skit is basically a horror movie about two men trapped forever eternally in a basement, forced to do a public access show.
Actually, that was a bit in Stay Tuned.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, Stay Tuned had when they're like ghouls trapped, the ghouls in the basement. Yeah, Stay Tuned parody.
Stay Tuned's a good movie.
Yeah, Stay Tuned's a great movie. All right, everybody pause the podcast, go watch Stay Tuned. Appreciate the hilarity of that fucking movie.
It's really good. Very underrated.
Yeah, oh yeah. They kept with the camera, talking to the camera thing, which was very clever and very effective in this fucking movie. I think it's some of the best bits are the like self-aware talking to the camera.
For sure. This is an interesting movie, too, because it does have that. It has the fourth wall breaking. Mm-hmm. It definitely has the absurdist comedy, like when he opens the door to the training montage.
Yeah,
where it's just guys fighting in there.
And stuff. And
so it has the real absurd stuff. But then it also has just a lot of like slice of life comedy.
Right, yeah. It's like a straight comedy with weird parody shit.
Yeah, exactly. Because there's a lot of it that's just like, here's these two loser dudes and his crazy ex-girlfriend.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And then, like, Garth is obsessed with the waitress at the coffee shop.
And it's so fucking Midwestern-y.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez. There's so, like,
it's all just hockey and donuts yeah. and driving around and headbanging and, yeah, and Milwaukee.
Like, exactly.
And,
I was going to say, in like towns that I don't hear of, but they all know about, like Aurora and Milwaukee. Like, just.
Well, I would hope you know about Milwaukee. Yeah. But yeah.
But yeah, it's so fucking Midwestern-y. It's very charming. It's a it's a different way of, it's different from the John Hughes, you know, Midwest.
True, because John Hughes, I think, was his characters, even though he would have like the slacker characters, his characters existed in a much more, I guess,
like somber, not somber necessarily, but like cutesy type of.
Yeah, they were more cutesy and more, I guess, mainstream.
Yeah,
is
mainstream
that fair?
And like family friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is definitely
just. This is that. This rides that line between like the Beavis and Butthead.
Right. And right. This also, watching this made me think, especially this movie, I was like, oh, Adam Sandler is just this character, but pissed off. Like with anger issues.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, you're
like
right.
Adam Sandler's just Wayne, but with anger issues.
Wow.
Yeah, because you think, when I was watching this, I was like, the fucking Wedding Singer is very close to this movie.
True.
It's like parody of romantic comedies.
Yeah.
And like self-awareness type of deal. But he's just fucking mad, like anger issues in that.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, it's kind of like.
Well, and it's interesting because in real life, from all reports, Adam Sandler, super chill dude, awesome to work with. And Mike Myers, kind of a dick.
Yeah, kind of hard to work with. And like, yeah, that dick. And also, apparently, during SNL, they both overlapped.
Yeah, they did.
And Mike Myers fucking hated Adam Sandler.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, like, so.
They're a little bit on each other's corner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it checks out, I guess. I guess if you see the new guy coming in.
Yeah.
And he's kind of doing some of the bits that you're doing, but pissed off. Or a little bit different. I can see why.
For sure. For sure.
Also, Adam Sandler can generally, like, play guitar and sing and shit like that.
Yeah.
Mike Myers.
Yeah.
More like as a joke.
Yeah, yeah.
Joking.
He can joke play.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, this movie also.
Dana Carvey, on the other hand, can real play.
Oh my god, he plays drums like a fucking machine. We were talking about it when we were watching that he played with U2 for the TV Movie Awards.
That's crazy. U2 was like the biggest band in the world, and they're like, hey, this comedian's going to play with us.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
Like, how good is he? Well, he's pretty fucking
good. He's pretty fucking good, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he played the U2 when we were several times. And I'm kind of surprised he didn't have his own band.
That is kind of surprising. Because Tia Carrera, who we're going to talk about a lot.
Yeah.
Actually has released full-on albums.
Yeah, several albums.
And did all of her own singing in this movie, which is super cool.
Yeah, so this movie also spawned our love affair with Tia Carrera.
With Tia Carrera, for sure.
That never gave her any type of fortuitous career options.
Like, very sad, yeah.
It's not like Winnie Cooper in The Wonder Years, where you're like, well, she wanted to. She was a very smart person who then became a mathematician.
Right.
And was like, I don't need to do movies. I want to do like scientist shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Tia Carrera wanted to keep making movies. And we were.
And she did.
Yeah.
She just did. Most of them went directly to TNT.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it sucks because we all like fell in love with her. I know I was. Jesus. Mm.
Fuck yeah.
That ending with Rob Lowe where she's in the bikini.
Oh, yeah.
I remember. Like vigorously masturbating to that one.
That's fair. That's fair.
Probably, I mean, if you found my VHS that I had back then,
just
and you
rewind,
put it in,
yeah.
It would be exactly at that part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely had a Maxim calendar that featured her in one of the months that was a very precious item to me.
Yeah. That was the only thing that I cared about for like one summer. That and like Mario Brothers 3.
Yeah.
That's all I cared about one summer. Yeah. Yeah, it's surprising to me how much we all loved her.
And how, like, legitimately talented she was.
Yeah. She had already had an album before this. She was featured on sings the end credit songs to Mask of the Phantasm, which is still the best Batman movie.
The best Batman movie of
no
the 90s,
what
easily.
Other Batman movie, I think, still the best Batman movie.
Still, including the new ones.
Yeah.
Oh, that's high
praise. That movie's fucking great.
That movie is fucking great.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd put it above the Nolan ones, but it's definitely the best 90s movie.
Yeah, maybe not over Dark Knight, because goddamn, that one was great.
Dark Knight's pretty fucking good.
Yeah. But, yeah. But, I mean, if you rank them, I would put them both up there together. Maybe Dark Knight ahead, just because, damn it, if it's not a great crime movie aside from a Batman movie, but... Mask of the Phantasm.
Mask of the Phantasm is a fantastic movie. Yeah. There is no doubt about that.
But she had the end, before this movie, she had the end credit song to that. So she was already like
she was a legit musician. Yeah.
Yeah. And then she released a bunch of other Hawaiian albums that she won like Grammys for and stuff like that.
Which is cool.
She didn't even do that thing where you just tour that.
Right.
Like she could have just toured as the band, as Tia Carrera. As Tia Carrera.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is surprising.
I would have went and saw that show.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
The fucking Ninja Turtles tour.
Yeah. That they did.
Coming out of their shell tour.
That's right.
It filled fucking stadiums.
Fuck yeah, it did.
Yeah.
And then they sold the shit out of the VHS copy of that show.
Yeah. And it's terrifying. Oh my God. Look at those guys. It's
not great.
It's fucking weird.
Me and my brother owned that one. And that was definitely of the four Ninja Turtles live action movies slash shows that we owned. That definitely got the fewest repeat viewings.
Yeah, it's fucking weird. They have weird giant shells on. I don't know. Their faces are fucking weird. It was still like a lot of animatronics and shit like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was like watching the Country Bear Jamboree, but like they moved around quite a bit.
Well, they had to do it like an hour and a half, and the Country Bear Jamboree was like a 20-minute show.
Yeah, yep. While you eat,
chili out of and cornbread,
you eat crappy chili in Disneyland, because you know you don't want to go wait in the line for the other restaurant.
Oh, fuck that!
I'm really surprised that they didn't just fucking tour that. Fucking I 10 years ago, it's got to be 10 years, right? 10 years ago, I went to go see a tour of the bands from the Drive soundtrack. That toured the Drive soundtrack.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you take advantage of this shit.
Yeah, for sure.
So for Tia Carrera to not just be like, hey, can you tour the band?
Especially when I feel like it's so rare that you actually have the actor or actress singing the songs.
And actually to be a big hit from the movie. Like people really, really fell in love with her.
Oh, yeah. Know?
Very surprising.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was just like rights and bullshit. And actually, maybe back then people were not thinking that way. They were like, "You can't cross into music.
No.
The kids won't go for it."
Yeah, you're just an actress from Wayne's World. Be an actress in Wayne's World too. Yeah. I don't know.
Also, like as much this movie parodies studio executives, but I do feel like. That's exactly what studio executives are like.
Oh, yeah. Although
the Rob Lowe character, I think that's exactly what they're like.
It's hilarious to me that this movie that is obviously written by people that do a live television show in real life.
Right.
And are very familiar with how television works and how productions work. When they actually go to make the first of the new Wayne's World. So we're going to get into the I guess, plot real quick. But you remember Wayne's World.
Yeah.
When they get to the moment where they're actually going to, you know, go live for the brand new, you know, actual network Wayne's World, they have had no rehearsals.
Yeah, yeah.
They have no script. They have... no idea that there's an announcer, that there's new music.
Yeah.
They have no idea of the format.
I wonder how much of that...
They show up like 5 minutes before they start filming.
I wonder how much of that comes from Mike Myers in SNL. Because from what I hear, SNL can be kind of a shit show like that.
It can be, but still, especially they have rehearsals.
Like, when you're first in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do have rehearsals. But I think a lot of that
You got fucking Pardot over there doing the intros. You didn't know that was coming out of nowhere, you know?
Mike Myers, I feel, had a contempt probably for television at this point. Like, I think especially because he's so hard to work with, they probably fucked with enough of his characters that he
had a lot of contempt for it. Yeah. Well, I mean, and even this, like, he was originally against our old buddy Dana Carvey.
Yeah, because he created the character himself.
Yeah.
This was co-written by Bonnie Turner and Terry Turner, who also co-wrote all the other fucking SNL movies in the 90s. They wrote like Coneheads and obviously Wayne's World 2 and It's Pat. They like co-wrote all those. It would be like Lorne would be like, we want to make a movie about your character. Here are the two people that write all the movies for us.
Yep.
And now you have to like co-write it with them.
Yeah.
So you just bring in your own I don't know. Do you think Tommy Boy too, which is not an SNL movie,
but basically is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think that they were just the ones that gave it structure? That the SNL probably guys would just show up and throw jokes, and they're like, "All right, we're gonna like put this in a structure.
We're gonna have like
we'll
a
have
story.
Like yeah,
we got likable characters. You gotta like do the upstream swimming, or the character has to like fight some obstacles.
Right,
and shit like
we gotta have the big downturn where Tia Carrera breaks up with him and he loses his show.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and you gotta like get in a fight
with
Garth.
Yeah, of course.
Like oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But I bet you, like, the story is that because probably Mike Myers had some contempt for the television industry.
That's probably fair.
And I do think Rob Lowe's character is very realistic. Like,
oh,
yeah. Just exploiting a small show and, like, changing it to his will and shit like that. Probably all comes from SNL.
Yeah. I mean, Rob Lowe, it is very funny how this movie was such a big hit and Rob Lowe for 10 years, 15 years, basically just played this character.
Yeah. So this, it was like they pitched it to him and they're like, "Hey, you're very good looking.
Yeah.
You're oozing of leading man. Mm-hmm. But what if you just play a fucking dick face from now on?"
From now on.
Yeah. And he's like, "Yeah, I'll go with it."
Yeah. Cause he does this, he does Tommy Boy.
Yeah.
And it's over from there. And then it's until what? Parks and Rec? Before he's a likable person again?
Yeah, before that you like him again. Yeah, after that, he just kept playing, like, dicks and stuff in a bunch of movies.
Yeah.
He was also... Well, he was also in Austin Powers.
That's right. Two. He was number two. He was the young number two.
Yeah, he was young number two. He did a pretty job.
Yeah, he was very good.
But, yeah, no, they were just like, "You're a very good-looking guy. What if we just hate you from
that?" Like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Let me look at these cheekbones. You should probably hate me.
The profile is perfect.
Yeah, you should probably hate these cheekbones.
Too perfect.
Yeah. His clothes, though.
Yeah.
Oof, that 90s fashion did Rob Lowe no favors.
No, oh my God. That was, the style was just big, baggy fucking clothing. Your suits, way too big for you.
Way too big.
Your shirts, way too puffy.
Yep.
Way too big. And I mean, if you go back and look at early Seinfeld, it's exactly that outfit.
Like, yeah.
They were all wearing the same fucking outfit. Yeah, it was not flattering at all.
No. Especially for a guy like Rob Lowe, who is in amazing shape.
Yeah. I do think, from what the movies that we've watched, the 80s was really bad for women fashion-wise. 90s, really bad for guys fashion-wise.
I think you're right.
So far. Because I haven't had any complaints about the women. I mean, obviously, their shit that they're wearing is dated.
Yeah.
But still, but like, in the 80s, we were like, "Jesus Christ."
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. Kathy, what are you doing?
The hair and makeup was the big thing.
Right.
Like, they toned it down in the 90s.
Right. Yeah. Except for the bikinis. The bikinis were fucking terrible in the 90s.
I'm still okay with the high.
Bikinis are always good.
Yeah, it's still a bikini.
Yeah. It's like
you just don't like that high up on the...
And the neon colors and, like, the high up on the waist thing. Yeah. I mean, it's, again, like pizza and blowjobs, right? Even the bad ones are pretty good.
Right. Well, and it's like we were saying, so they made a music video with the Wayne's World guys for the band Cinderella, for some song. I don't remember what it was.
Hadn't Bothered, I think.
Yeah, whatever. Who cares?
Yeah.
And we were talking before we recorded that while I neither one of us are big hair metal guys, we have a little bit of a soft spot for it because it's like nostalgic for us now.
Right. We're like,
I feel that way about 90s bikinis.
Actually, you might be right about 90s girls. It may be that I'm like, you know, like women and girls in the 90s were still pretty hot, but it's because I was a fucking like teenager, like not a teen, but like I was growing up in that time. So they were all hot to me.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So now looking back, I'm like, yeah, they're still hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's still a soft spot. Like, I jerked off to them a lot. So clearly they're still hot. But I do think.
As opposed to the 80s, by which time you're like, that's what my dad jerks off to. I'm not jerking off to, Jane Cusack and fucking Working Girl.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm jerking off to Jane Cusack and
Joan Cusack. I said Jane. I fucked you up.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
And
we're
do it again.
Very close friend of ours, Joan Cusack. We apologize.
Yeah.
For that. Jane Cusack.
Sorry, JC.
Yeah. It's not your name. John Cusack, though, always sexy.
Always.
From the very beginning. Until today. No. Today.
Maybe
I've seen
5 years ago.
Also, but John Cusack grows a beard now. Done. Panties off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Grow a beard now, sir.
Grow a beard.
Grow a salt and pepper beard.
You got to, like, cover up the little bit of the double chin you got going. You grow a beard.
Yeah, that's a problem number one right there.
As soon as you grow a beard, no one can tell the double chin. You're just John Cusack again.
Yep. You're just a nice chiseled salt and pepper John Cusack. Oh, my God. Do it now. Do it now, sir.
Do it
now. Yeah. Do it. Do it now.
It's the way to do it. It's the way to go. I guess we should talk a little about the plot.
There's a famous, while we're talking about beards, I have seen this thing going around the internet where they've taken George Costanza.
Yeah.
And shaved him completely bald
and added a beard?
A beard.
And he's fucking badass looking?
And you're like, pretty handsome.
Pretty handsome fucking guy.
That guy could probably get it.
I saw a meme where it was like, proof that beards make you look better. And it's like a picture of a guy with no beard and then the guy with a beard. But it's not a guy. It's like Shrek when he's a human being. It's like human being Shrek. With a beard and without a beard. And then people were like, there's like 1,000 comments and they're like, yeah, obviously beards are better. I'm like, that's not a real person. Like, what are you guys talking about?
That's human Shrek.
That's a CGI human Shrek. like, we're all supposed to be laughing at this. What are you taking? Yeah, it's very funny and ridiculous to me.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
But I can see why. Right now, beards are, you know, bearded dudes are.
They're all the rage.
They're all the rage. Yeah. Until this generation of kids grow up and they're like, well, fuck that shit.
Yeah,
I don't want to do what my parents were into.
Yep.
I don't want any of that.
The beard's got maybe 5 more years in
it. And then we're going to go back to long-haired. I mean, they've always been around, but long-haired, kind of like a Wayne's World type.
Yeah.
Like kind of like chubby guys, clean cut, slacker dudes. Yeah.
Slacker dudes, yeah.
Also, this movie gave every single long-haired friend duo a fucking Halloween costume.
That's true. You don't even have to have long hair. You can put a wig on.
Come. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody?
Just any two friends.
Any two friends. In fact, I've known several chick friends.
That have done it.
That have done it. Yeah. For many a year to come. You're two people. One of you maybe is blonde. One of you is brunette.
Perfect.
Done. Wayne's World costume. That's it.
Yep.
All you need is a fucking black t-shirt, flannel for Garth. And a hat that says Wayne's World, and that's it.
That's true. Yeah. Easier than Mario and Luigi.
Yep. Oh, way easier than Mario and Luigi. You got to buy like overalls and outfit, shit. Yeah. And mustaches.
That's right.
Hats.
Hat.
This is just
one hat with an M on it, so they know you're Mario.
Yeah, exactly. And then one with an L. And then weird colors nobody wears, like red and green.
Yeah.
Yeah, weird. So the movie is obviously, it's actually starts off pretty cool with like commercials.
That's right,
like,
yeah.
It's like the Chia Pet commercial. It's
Rob Lowe's surfing.
The Clapper commercial.
Yeah.
And actually, the DVD of this movie is fucking great because it's a fake TV guide, like the guide.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a fake guide that just shows actual commercials of shit. And then eventually you can highlight the one that says Wayne's World movie and then you can play. That's how it plays.
Ah, that's great.
Yeah, the DVD is fucking great at this. But then, yeah, Rob Lowe's watching the show, banging a chick, obviously.
Obviously.
Like he does in this movie.
Yep.
And then we get a clip of Wayne's World that's right out of SNL.
It's just an SNL
bit. Yeah, it's an SNL bit of them where the guy's like vacuuming Garth's hair and cutting it.
Yeah, the sucking cut.
Yeah. It's sucking my will to live, which is a very funny line. And then, you know, he decides Bill Murray's brother.
That's right. Brian Doyle Murray.
Yeah, he's fucking great in this. He like owns Noah's Arcade.
That's right.
So that's the plot. The plot is... there's more to that.
A little more to that. So, yeah. I mean, the plot is that Rob Lowe sees this, is in business in some capacity.
With Noah's Arcade.
Yeah, with Noah's Arcade, with Brian Doyle Murray. Decides this is the perfect opportunity to take these two slacker idiots and use them to...
Yeah, exploit them.
To promote the arcade. And by doing so, I don't know, he makes a lot of money somehow.
Yeah, he always makes a lot of money.
Yeah.
But at the same time... Garth and Wayne, then we get to see their fucking life, which is awesome, by the way.
Yes.
So the first thing they do is they go to the Murphmobile.
This is basically the
life. Gremlin.
Basically, this is the life that I assumed I would have when I first saw this movie and I was still a kid. I was like, man, when I get to high school, this is what it is.
This is going to be, Yeah.
I got to high school and I'm like, yeah, it's kind of like this.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be more Saved by the Bell, where I was just in every club and everything revolved around me. But it turns out I was just one of the nerds from Saved by the Bell.
Yeah.
I would just show up for AC Slater to make fun of me.
Yeah.
Get a good zinger in on me. Then go bang the hot chick.
Bang the girl from Striptease.
Yeah. Go bang her and then, you know, like
Showgirls, I just disappear. Not Striptease.
Showgirls, yeah. Or Lisa Turtle. I don't think they banged. I think Zach and her were together one time.
I don't know.
I know Screech was all about her, but, you know, now he's dead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sad.
Sad.
Yeah, rest his soul. But anyway, yeah, you're right. It was like, this is what it's going to be like. And they, if we had grown up in the Midwest, maybe? Because all movies from the Midwest, when you're in high school, that's all you fucking do is just party.
Party in a van.
Yeah.
Or in a cool car.
Yeah.
Smoke a lot. This, again, you mentioned it. Nobody smokes weed in this movie, even though clearly they're smoking weed.
That was the funny thing, because when I told my girlfriend, I was like, oh, yeah, we're doing Wayne's World this week. She's like, isn't that a movie about a couple of stoners? And I was like, no.
Yeah. And then you're like,
wait a minute. Was it? I was like, they never smoke, but... I mean, they probably smoke, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Again, they never drink in the movie either, but
they probably are drinking. Well, yeah. No, because what's his name is like fucked up.
That guy is.
So they get into the Murphmobile, the great fucking scene that it was Bohemian Rhapsody, brought back Queen back into the
limelight. So I'm going to tell a very embarrassing for me story about that.
A very personal story about that. Is this a molestation story?
Yes. So Freddie Mercury raped me. With deliciousness. Raped my ears with
delicious music.
Delicious music, like March of the Black Queen.
Life-changing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing music.
No, so I had, in high school, I was obsessed with this movie, of course, because of course I was, and... I knew the DJ to one of the school dances, and I convinced him to close the school dance with Bohemian Rhapsody, which I was super, super into. Nobody else was.
Are you fucking serious?
Nobody was dancing. Everybody stopped. Everybody was just kind of looking around like, what the fuck is this guy doing?
You emptied the room with it?
Emptied the room with it.
Oh my God. Yep. With Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yep.
Jesus, nowadays you play that song, everybody goes crazy.
Yeah, no, people were not having it.
What?
Yeah.
What the? That's stupid.
So I was in the right, is what you're saying.
Yeah, of course. That song is, I mean, it's not a dancing song.
It's not a dancing song.
I guess that.
But it was the end of the night. I don't know. I was like, throw it on.
That's fucking great. That's a great way to end the night.
Yeah.
Did anybody headbang? Did you headbang?
I hangbanged.
Of course.
Yeah. Wow. Nobody else.
Maybe because they were like, oh, stupid.
Yeah, maybe.
High school kids fucking suck.
That's true. You do have that like detached irony thing where you're like, oh, nothing's cool.
Yeah. There's that great bit. And actually, that's another one that I wanted to talk about. That these are characters that have carried over. And even though they were created around this time, The Simpsons has these characters in it still. Otto is still the same character.
That's right, yeah.
Jimbo. Mm-hmm. And Kearney, like the bullies are like still the bullies. Same fucking character. Yeah. But that's a great bit in Simpsons, where the Lollapalooza bit, where he's like, oh, it's the cannonball guy. He's cool. And it's like, are you being sarcastic, dude? Nah, I don't even know anymore.
That's right. Yeah.
And that's exactly right.
That was a very definitive like Gen X thing.
Yeah. Be like, meh. Yeah. Like, I don't like it.
I don't know if teenagers are still like that, but I assume.
Oh, yeah. For sure. But that sucks.
I assume they must be doing these TikToks ironically, because I don't understand them otherwise.
Yeah, I don't get it at all. I don't like it one bit. It's a fine line. We're at an age right now where it's a fine line between like, I don't get this, and I don't understand it. I don't like what the kids are doing. Mm-hmm. And like, no, I'm cool too. I'm a part of this. Either one, you're fucking losing.
Yeah.
Like,
we got no winning at this point.
No. That's why your only go-to is you got drugs and alcohol.
Yep.
Yep. That's the only way. That's the only way to keep their interest.
Yep.
Is you're that weird old dude that used to get us fucked up. And, you know, it's better than the other two, I guess.
I guess.
Yeah. To a point. Eventually you get arrested for something.
Yeah.
But the iconic scene, the most iconic scene in this, I think.
The Bohemian Rhapsody thing?
The Bohemian Rhapsody, which is interesting because it's not a good scene.
No, really.
At all. It's just like they're just jamming out to the song.
I do think, though, it is sort of indicative of what this movie meant at the time.
Right.
Which wasn't really like, oh, it's a hilarious comedy with a lot of great jokes. It was like, yeah, this is like our movie.
Yeah, for real. You're right. And like, it has it's a slice of life thing that you're talking about. They're just hanging around the Murphmobile.
It's just four loser dudes with long hair rocking out to a cool song.
It's five of them.
Five at that time, because they pick up the drunk guy.
So he's obviously drunk and he's going to throw up.
Yeah.
And it has that great bit where he gets that little Dixie cup and he's like, if you're going to spew in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that in this movie or in the next movie? I always forget.
Yeah, it was in the beginning of this. Okay. Because because he's going to hurl. And then he's like, we have a no chunks policy.
Yeah, he guarantees it. Yeah.
Yeah, he guarantees it. Exactly. So then they
there's a lot of spewing in both these movies, because I always remember that line. And then there's the line later in this where Garth talks about wanting to throw up because of how pretty the girl is.
Right.
And Wayne
if you
like,
blow chunks and she stays,
it was meant to be.
And if she hurls and she bolts,
or if then it's true love. If you hurl and she bolts, then it was never meant to be.
Yeah, exactly.
That stuck with me a long time.
Yeah.
I was like, that's what I'm looking for.
You can always throw up.
Yeah.
the first night is fucking rad. So they go in the Murphmobile. They fucking rock out. They stop to look at Wayne's guitar, which is also kind of a cool thing to do. Like, they're just like, oh, let's look at his fucking guitar that he's always wanted.
Yeah.
Really quick. Then they go fucking.
And again, isn't really even a joke. It's just like, yeah, that's what you do.
Yeah, yeah. They just stop to look at the fucking guitar. Then they go fucking have donuts at this fucking badass place with the best character.
The best character.
Arguably the best character in this fucking movie. And in the second one, too.
Yeah.
Which is fucking Ed O'Neill owns this fucking donut shop.
God, what a goddamn legend, Ed O'Neill. God.
And they're like, he's there 24/7.
Dutch, married with children.
Oh, my God.
Another show that people seem to like that has, I'm sure, made him a lot of
Modern
money.
Modern Family, yeah. The cameos that he fucking did everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, just Married with Children is fucking great. They go to his fucking donut shop where he's there 24/7. It's got a giant, hockey guy.
Yeah.
Which I think it's him.
I don't know if it's him or not.
They never mention it, but it's called like Mickey's Place or something like that. But there's a hockey guy on top.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But the first introduction to him, he's like, oh, this is the owner. He's here 24/7. And he immediately starts talking to the camera about how he killed a guy.
Why is it when you kill a man in battle, it's called heroism?
Heroic, yeah. When you kill him with a heat of passion, it's called murder. I never thought I'd do anything that crazy in my life. And it's fucking great. It's such a well-written fucking weird bit.
Yeah.
It's very fucking funny.
It's real good.
And then later he does it again when he's talking about when you stab somebody in the snow, you can see the steam come out of the wound.
The Native Americans thought it was the soul leaving the body.
And then in part two, he does it again. Like, it's fucking great.
Yeah.
That character's so fucking funny. And it's such an awesome, like, injected, weird Mike Myers. It's Mike Myers' weirdness in it. And it's very funny. But then they go to like fucking badass places. They go to the place with the fucking car skewered on top of each other.
So cool.
And then the gas works where they're just fucking fire everywhere.
Yes.
Like, it made me, when I was a kid, it made me really kind of want to be in that area. Like the fucking Midwest area. I mean, I'm not white, so I probably, you know, like wouldn't fit in as much. But, you know, still, like, I wanted to be, like, in that whole fucking, like, that lifestyle.
Yeah, no.
Because it's
learn a little bit about hockey, you'd be fine.
And you'd be fine, exactly. Because even if you look at some of the other, you know, like I said, like we said, like John Hughes or, like Fast Times and stuff like that. Like, it's still.
It's all very Midwesty.
It's all very, very. Yeah. And then they're all having a fucking blast all the time. Obviously, I grew up with these movies, so, you know, that's what I thought. But, yeah, they're always having a great fucking night. Like, they always have the best night of their life.
That's true. That's true.
And then this is when we see Tia Carrere.
That's right. She enters into the movie and into our hearts.
Into our hearts.
Yeah.
After this, we were all in love with Tia Carrere. And rightly so. She's very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
She sings like a fucking machine, like a beast.
Yeah.
She's, and then she is a talented actress. She's not like a shitty actress.
Yeah, no, she's good.
No, she's really good. Charismatic, too. She's very charismatic. Yeah, again, surprise. Nothing much.
Nothing much. After this. Yeah.
But he falls in love with her right away. Oh, we get the great Meatloaf.
That's right.
Meatloaf as a doorman.
Meatloaf cameo.
Yeah. Where it's like, we got this man and the Shitty Beatles. The Shitty Beatles, how are they? They suck. It's not just a clever name.
Nope.
Which is also a very good name for a fucking band.
Yep.
The Shitty Beatles.
That is very good.
Yeah. It's fucking great. We get a little bit
of. Do you spell it like the Beatles or do you spell it like the animal?
Can you spell it like the Beatles?
I think you'd spell it like the animal.
Like the animal, right? Yeah. That way you don't have to worry about
copyright stuff.
Yeah, about copyright or slander, I guess. But it's your band, not them.
Yeah, I think you'd be okay either way.
Yeah, probably. If you were just like a house band,
I mean, it wouldn't matter if you're just a house band. Yeah,
if you played heavy, like hair metal versions of Beatles songs,
ooh,
like I feel like you could suck, and I would still very much enjoy it.
Yeah, Yeah.
Especially you'd if have to you're be really Aurora, bad. Illinois.
I think you'd have to be really bad for me to be like, as like a teenager in the Midwest listening to like metal versions of Beatles songs not to be like, this is pretty good.
I yeah, like exactly. To be like, this is a fucking great band. What a great idea. Yeah. They don't say that. They just say it's the shitty Beatles and that they suck.
They suck.
We also get introduced to Wayne's at the coffee shop, Wayne's ex.
Laura Flynn Boyle, right?
Laura Flynn Boyle. Again,
one of her early roles.
Another weird character. I apparently based on Mike Myers' real ex-girlfriend who gave him a gun rack one time.
Yeah.
But she's like super obsessed with him. She just does physical bits the whole time.
Mm-hmm. A lot of falling down.
Yeah, a lot of falling down. Again, Adam Sandler movies. Just physical bits.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of that shit.
It's fair.
But yeah, she does like, she buys him a gun rack. She makes out with another dude in front of him. Falls through the fucking window. Like a lot of just like that type of shit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we get the plot. It keeps going. Rob Lowe exploits them. A lot of really funny shit. I think Garth, bringing Dana Carvey in as Garth to the actual like Wayne's World bit, it's pretty brilliant. His character is such a good... Not only like a good juxtaposition to Wayne, but also a guy that I know.
Yes. Yes, I 100% knew Garth.
Yeah, Garth, like Garth Algar, we all know that fucking guy. Yeah. We all met that guy. We all still kind of know that guy.
Yes.
Even nowadays.
I've known at least like 5 Garths.
Oh my God, yeah. So it was a great character to bring in because, again, it fits into that it's our moment now.
Yes.
Movie. Like, this is a slice of what 1992 was like. He has a lot of good bits. He has, like, a lot of talking to the camera. He's like, isn't it weird that this guy showed up?
And
he's the only one that kind of, like, is noticing that Rob Lowe is a piece of shit, which is also pretty funny.
Yes.
That Garth is the only one that knows, and he talks to the camera about it, but he's such a weird, awkward dude, he never brings it up to Wayne until, like, the end.
Until the end, yeah.
Yeah, when they're fighting. It's all around, like, a really fucking... funny movie.
Oh yeah, no. It's a good flick.
If you rank the SNL movies, how do you rank them? Like, let's say, let's go
all of them.
Let's go all of them.
All of them. Okay.
There's like 10 of them.
Okay. So we'll do in reverse order, build up to the final.
Okay.
So I think the worst one's probably is Pat.
All right, you're gonna go with this Pat for the worst one.
I don't really remember Stuart Saves His Family, so I'm gonna put that one next.
After that, I mean, I feel like the critics will do the same.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, maybe Blues Brothers 2000 because it was such an affront.
Yeah.
To the original one, that maybe that one the critics would agree.
Yeah. I know critics. You know, I have a weird soft spot for that movie. It's not good, but
was it because of John Goodman?
It might have been because of John Goodman.
Yeah.
It had a lot of musicians that I liked at the time. Like Blues Traveler showed up.
And Blues Brothers 2000 should have been Blues Brothers 1995.
Yeah.
Like, I think by 2000, they're all kind of too old.
That's fair.
Yeah. To be like clever and you're just kind of like, this is kind of like a...
Here's what Blues Brothers 2000 should have been. It should have been a live concert, a touring concert.
Right.
It shouldn't have been an actual movie. It should have just been a touring concert that Dan Aykroyd...
And I think they did
Dan Aykroyd was like the MC of and had a bunch of different blues people come up and do songs.
Yeah.
And that would have been an amazing show to go to.
And John Goodman just shows up.
Yeah.
And they do Blues Brothers.
And they do a Blues Brothers song at the end and everybody joins in. That would have been fantastic.
Yeah. That would have been... They would have been a moneymaker and they would have been a great show.
Great show to go to.
Yeah.
As a movie... Yeah, so that's probably next.
There's still like Ladies Man and MacGruber, Night at the Roxbury, Superstar.
Okay, Superstar. Actually, I'll put Superstar, then Blues Brothers 2000, because I'd never gotten into Superstar.
Weird, but all right, go ahead.
All right. Then next up, we'll say, I'm going to swerve on you. I'm going to put Coneheads.
Wow, I put Coneheads way higher.
I'll put MacGruber, then Coneheads.
All right.
MacGruber, then Coneheads, then Ladies Man, then Night at the Roxbury.
Wow.
Then Wayne's World 1, then Wayne's World 2, then Blues Brothers.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, there's only like 10 movies.
That's only like 10 movies, yeah.
Yeah.
What would you go with?
No, I would put Blues Brothers 2000 as the worst one. Okay. I thought that movie was fucking terrible.
Yeah, it's not great.
Yeah. Then probably, because I watched all of them. Like, I was really into SNL.
Yeah, I was too.
In the 90s. So I watched all of them. And I had, you know, like I liked for the most part most of them.
Yeah,
probably. I would go Blues Brothers 2000. probably Ladies Man, which I thought was pretty funny, but I don't know. Like, it came at a weird time where it was a weird character to go with. And
yeah, that's probably true. I've only also seen it once, so I'm just kind of going off of my memories. Yeah. Of, like, I remember laughing a lot.
Then probably it's Pat, then Superstar, because the same thing. I liked Superstar.
It was too late.
But it was, yeah.
It was like 5 years too late for that character.
It was. Yeah. It really was. And Will Ferrell is the best part of it.
Yeah, of course.
And, you know, then Will Ferrell has way better shit movies immediately after
you'd, that. You'd definitely rather watch an actual Will Ferrell movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Actually, I'll put MacGruber. I'll move MacGruber back before Superstar. I'll go MacGruber, then Superstar. Changing my mind. Superstar, then MacGruber. MacGruber's better. I think MacGruber's pretty funny.
Still no It's Pat? You put that pretty high.
Oh, no, you know what? No, I was wrong. No, didn't I say It's Pat? Stuart Tips' family is the one they haven't said.
Oh, okay.
So I'll go... Sorry, I'll back up again. Let's start this guy over.
This is very important. Our fans really need to know this nonsense information that means nothing.
I'm just going to go back to... I'm going to go to my the top, I think.
You want
to
just start from the number one?
Then it goes Coneheads... Well, Night at the Roxbury is number five for me. Then Coneheads, probably. Then Blues Brothers. Then Wayne's World 2 and Wayne's World 1. Yeah,
that's fair.
Yeah. I think Wayne's World is the best SNL movie. Well, it's not only the most successful one, but...
It's definitely the most successful,
It's the best written. I think it's the one that... it happened right at the right time.
Yeah.
It was weird for them, as much as I think the movies are, you know, like, funny. It was weird for them to make a movie about It's Pat. It was fucking weird for them to make a movie about Stuart Saves His Family.
Yes.
Like,
it's weird for them not to make a movie about the church lady.
Yeah, it was weird because that was the biggest fucking character at the time. Like, before Wayne's World, the church lady was bigger.
Huge, yeah.
I don't know, maybe it was there was like that gap. They weren't making any movies. They made Blues Brothers and they didn't make anything until Wayne's
World. Never made a Weekend Update movie. Could have made that.
That would have been a weird one. Yeah. They never made a...
It would have been like Sports Night.
Then Yeah, exactly. They never made a copy machine room guy.
Copies. Yeah.
They never made that Rob movie. Schneider movie. Yeah. Never did that. Never made... One of my favorite characters was like open head wound guy that Dana Carvey used to play.
That was good. Yeah. I remember that one. Yeah.
Yeah. SNL has some moments.
The overly rapey, staff that was always like Schneider and Sandler.
Yeah. There was a lot of that.
Yeah.
Obviously, we got Tommy Boy because Chris Farley was just that.
Yeah.
Every skit, it was Chris. And actually, in the cameos, like in this, Chris Farley's just Chris Farley.
Mm-hmm.
In Coneheads, Chris Farley's just Chris Farley.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, it was just, and I think that's...
Until, of course, you get to masterpieces like Beverly Hill Ninjas, where Chris Farley is a ninja.
Yeah, exactly. Or when he's a Tommy Boy, I guess.
Sure.
Yeah. It's funny, like, he's one of those guys that was just Chris Farley.
That's just funny.
Yeah, he was just a funny and then, like, a charming guy to be around and, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. I think...
I mean, Bill Murray is somewhat... Up until his late, like, his second act renaissance, Bill Murray was kind of that.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're right.
Very different character than Chris Farley, but Bill Murray was basically just Bill Murray. And
that's true.
90% of the movies up until he started working with Wes Anderson.
Yeah. And then he became like Daddy Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I still feel very attached to.
It gets emotions.
And I don't like this anti-Wes Anderson thing that's been going on lately a lot where people just don't like Wes Anderson anymore and they think he's pretentious.
Fuck that.
Yeah. Also the anti-Pulp Fiction thing. There's a lot of that nowadays.
Yeah, fuck that too.
Yeah. Nah. Anyway, but I think...
Young people like the shit I like.
Yeah, goddammit, already. Yeah. Actually, we just got to wait another 10 years.
It'll come back around.
Yeah. It's all a fucking boomerang on this shit.
Yeah.
This movie also, like, it kind of, like, greenlit a whole bunch of slacker movies, right? I mean, Encino Man did the same thing because it came out the same year.
And you mentioned Airheads.
But Airheads clearly after this.
Beavis and Butthead was after this, right? Because it feels very much in
there. Right. Beavis and Butthead's also, like, it was just like, oh, we could make money in these fucking slacker kids. You know, Pauly Shore.
Yeah.
Clearly that. It just, like... Like Spawn, this like set of movies, all of Pauly Shore's career.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All of his
sure.
famous movies.
Yes, for sure.
Are just like spawning off of this. And it's interesting that, you know, like they became hits. They were like big hits. Like Wayne's World is such a big fucking hit. I mean, it's a very funny movie.
It is. But again, I think it spoke to a generation.
Yeah.
And that choice of the generation Pepsi.
Oh, all right. And they do one of the best fucking bits.
Probably the first time, at least the first time I remember ever seeing it. It's been done a lot since.
Right.
But the throwing the product placement, being like over the top obvious with it.
Yeah.
To call the joke of it.
Yeah. You know, talking about, he's like, no, I don't want to do any type of like sponsoring or product placement. Yeah. That's for sellouts. And then they're wearing like the whole Pepsi outfit or the Doritos.
The Doritos.
It does the Advil.
Pizza Hut, the Advil, yeah.
And then that's when they do the voice of a generation.
I think it was Pepsi.
Pepsi, the voice of a generation. That was a bold catchphrase.
Yeah, they were making a stand.
Voice of a generation.
Coke's for old people.
Yeah.
You don't want to be an old person like a Coke drinker.
No, you want to be a young person. The Pepsi. Actually, Mountain Dew, they mention Mountain Dew in this movie, like Rob Lowe orders a Mountain Dew.
That's right.
And I was like, why? Wasn't Mountain Dew always an extreme drink? Or did it just start off as like just a drink that a lot of people were drinking, but it didn't become like an extreme drink?
It was probably rebranded at some point, because Mountain Dew originally, it was like Dew from the Mountains. It was like hillbilly shit.
Dew from the Mountains?
I'm serious.
Yeah.
And then I think they went rebrand X Games, fucking Tony Hawk.
Like Tony Hawk was just drinking it? Yeah.
So we should mention Bill and Ted, right?
Bill and Ted is 89. Yeah, and that's pre. Yeah,
89 comes out, and that's very much...
That's 3 years before
the slacker movie. You also, to some extent, the Kevin Smith movies were kind of just slacker hangout movies, at least the first couple, right?
Right.
Clerks and Mallrats are basically just hangout slacker movies.
They hit because that's what the generation was like. Generation X was just that. And really, you know, as always, contempt for older people. That's why.
Yes.
They hate fucking Noah. They don't hate Noah, but, you know, they make fun of him a lot. And also, this is a post yuppies, like 80s cokehead yuppies were the
thing. And in fact, Rob Lowe basically is the villainous version of the 80s cokehead yuppie.
Yeah. So this is like the blowback from the 80s cokehead yuppies.
For sure.
Yeah.
And Brian Doyle Murray's character, it's not even so much that they're, like, they're not taking him down the way they're taking the Rob Lowe 80s businessman down. They're more just like, oh, old people, they're so, like,
yeah,
ridiculous.
Exactly. Like, oh, look at old people trying to be,
trying to be
hip.
Cool. The fucking.
Because he has a rap.
Losers, yeah.
He has his, like, Come to Noah's Arcade rap that he did for. So it's like, yeah, look at him trying to be young and shit like that. And, you know, in all this.
In the same way, I assume our listeners mock us mercilessly for our slang.
Yeah, for being.
Like, look at these old people trying to connect to us young podcasters. I only listen to podcasts from 16-year-olds.
Yeah.
Look at that. Have TikToks. And
we're always doing things like going sheesh a lot and bet. We say that a lot. Where it's like, hey, you like this movie? Bet. Bet I like this movie.
Wait, is that a thing?
Yeah, of course. You're not on TikTok?
No, I'm not on TikTok.
That is your problem right there. Number one. Yeah. If we go back a couple years, we go with Deadass. Deadass is not a thing.
Deadass, I remember.
Yeah.
Bet, I so didn't understand what you meant by that. I wasn't sure if that was an old person thing or a young person thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's how lost I was.
Yeah, there's a lot of that type of stuff. But also, like, it has I had something I lost.
You had a thought, but it is gone.
It's gone now, yeah.
It's appropriate, because I feel like that's a very Wayne and Garth thing to do.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Oh, no, this movie, that's what it was. It was, this movie has... Another one of those things, when I was a kid growing up, not only did I think that my life was going to be like that, but it made it so that I was like, if I'm just funny, I can get the hottest fucking chick.
Sure.
But watching the movie, you know, over the years and watching it again now, Wayne actually tries really, really hard.
Yes, he does.
And he does it in a very charming way. He learns Cantonese.
Right.
First of all, to like surprise her.
Yeah.
Very romantic.
Yeah. And hard.
And very hard. Cantonese.
Extremely hard.
Yeah. It's like learning fucking Navajo when you're fucking 25. Like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Cantonese is fucking crazy hard.
A very difficult language to just pick up.
Yeah. Like, Mandarin you can probably do. But Cantonese?
I mean, Mandarin would still be really hard. Because any of the non-Latin base are super hard for English speakers or for any, like, Western-speaking people. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Cantonese. Woof.
Yeah. So, he learns that for her. Which is very romantic. He's also not... He, like, pushes her in a very good way. Like, he's very positive in her life
type of deal. He's very positive in his life. But he's also, like, he's got balls. Like, he walks up almost immediately, like, hey, let's hang out.
Yeah.
Can I call you?
Yeah, like, exactly. So he's confident about it. He's also not like, I have a show. I have a TV show. Like, the way Rob Lowe is.
That's true.
Rob Lowe's like,
you know, I'm a producer.
Like, I'm a producer. He does that immediately. He's like, oh, I'm a big shot producer.
How Rob Lowe gets chicks.
I'm not trying to hit on you, but I'm a big shot producer.
Yeah.
And then she's like, all right, yeah, whatever, dude. Like, talk to my fucking manager, whatever. You know what I mean? Because she gets that all the time.
I'm sure.
But Wayne is confident. He's romantic. Like, he works really hard. He's actually a very fucking good role model when you're talking about trying to get a chick.
Yeah.
Also,
he understands that the slacking, when it comes to ladies, that's where you got to put in the effort.
Exactly. You just got to be clever. Yeah. You got to be funny. And you got to be cute.
And you got to try. You got to put the effort out.
In a weird twist of events, he fucking loses her twice. In this movie and the second movie. In the second movie, she almost marries fucking...
Chris Walken.
Chris Walken. Yeah. Who's a bigger dick than Rob Lowe.
I mean, that is part of the sequelitis thing where, you know, they got to...
Yeah, you got to up the ante.
Same thing a little bit, yeah.
But still, I'm like, is Tia Carrera just a shitty person or we just have
Possibly.
Yeah, or we just got to succumb to fucking movie norms.
Or specifically, I suppose, Cassandra is who we're talking
Cassandra,
about.
Cassandra, not Tia Carrera. Yeah, Cassandra. Yeah.
But I think it's more just like, oh, it's a sequel, so...
Yeah.
And we got to, like you said, we got to one-up it and... Also, you know, we can do a parody of The Graduate.
The Graduate, which is great. Yeah. Also, I should give Cassandra more credit because she is mad at Wayne, but then she immediately realizes that, like, Rob Lowe's way too close to her and creepy.
Yeah.
And then she's like, Wayne, wait. Like, she immediately, like,
That's
turns.
True.
Yeah. She just got in a fight.
Yep.
It's actually...
it's pretty good.
It's pretty good. It's a pretty cute... relationship that they have.
Yeah.
But it did, when I was a kid, it did make me think like, oh, like anyone of us can get the really hot chick. And she's a fucking like rock star.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're just like funny, the funny guy, you're John Sudeikis or...
That's true.
Yeah, if you're Sudeikis.
Sudeikis, man. Yeah. Giving us all hope.
Yeah, give us all fucking hope. But yeah, their relationship is really good. And Rob Lowe, aside from his wardrobe, does a lot of boasting himself up. Like, he does that mansplaining thing where he talks about champagne.
Again, he tells two people that don't know what it is. I wouldn't... That's just explaining.
But he does that douchey thing where he doesn't have to fucking say that.
About it, yeah.
You don't have to be like, well, you know, I don't know if you know this. Clearly, you don't know this, but champagne doesn't... Like, it's not that upfront, but it's... That's the point.
It's a little douche.
That's a point of the scene.
Sure.
And then that's when Garth sneaks out and he's like, look at these books he's got.
I mean,
it's
is hilarious that he has books about how to pick up chicks right next to his couch in the living room.
So the chicks know.
Yeah.
Chicks know what's up. Also, it's the 90s. By that point,
the deal is done.
Yeah. You're in an American Psycho apartment. Actually, it's pretty close to an American Psycho apartment.
Not as nice.
Not as nice as the American Psycho. Yeah. Because American Psycho, he was like a Wall Street guy.
Well, yeah. And he was also like a perfectionist.
Yeah. He was like a very meticulous
guy. Yeah.
And this one, Rob Lowe, he's rich.
He's just like a rich douchebag.
Yeah, he's a rich douchebag.
Yeah.
Exactly. But he does do that a lot where he's just like, oh, well, you know.
He's a douche.
Yeah, he's a douchebag.
He's a douchebag.
But you know the plot. You know how it goes.
Yeah. They break up. They make up.
They
rock out.
Talking to the camera stuff is really funny. The like self-awareness of the movie is really funny. Like by the time we get to the end, when we're at the like different endings thing.
The different ending stuff is never. My God.
I had never seen that before. And it was so funny.
I mean, I'd seen Clue before.
Yeah. Well, Clue had that. You're right.
But the way that they... Just the way they did it, that became such a... The do-do-do-do-do-do and the multiple...
The
Scooby-Doo
ending.
So...
Like, a Scooby-Doo ending is such a great ending. God. Especially because they introduced that character early on. And they're just like, this is Mr. Withers, whatever.
And it doesn't come back for an hour and a half. Yeah.
He owns the amusement park. And it's a really funny...
Yeah.
It's a really funny payoff.
Yeah. It's very much in that Edgar Wright, Simon Pegg school of... Just seeding and then paying it off way later after you've forgotten about it.
Writing the same joke twice.
Yeah.
But it's the second time it's a payoff to that joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of that. Also, they get $5,000 for the show.
Yeah, each.
Each, which they're super happy about because, yeah. Again, 1990s.
They live with their parents.
Yeah, they live with their parents still, which you never see their parents, which is also funny. I think in the SNL skit, maybe there was a time where... I don't think we see her, but we hear his mom.
Yes, I believe you hear his mom at one point. I don't think you ever see the parents. You do, of course, meet Tia Carrera's father in the second movie.
Right.
In a great scene.
Yeah, where he has to fight him.
Yeah.
And they do, like, subtitles. Do you want to do this in Cantonese or you want to do subtitles? They do, like, voiceover.
They do the dub. Yeah.
They do dub. Sorry, yeah.
And yeah, it's James Hong.
Yeah.
And they have a fucking fight. Oh, God, it's so good.
And their voices are completely different.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he respects him after that. Yeah. This has a great bit where he learns Cantonese after one day, and then he's speaking super eloquently in Cantonese.
Yes.
Like, it's like, oh, well, you know, the old saying.
Because he starts with, like, I'm just a beginner, and then he just starts going into these incredibly colloquial things.
I feel like her self-esteem, and he's like, well, you know the old saying about if you know me. Like, it's all, like, super eloquent. Yeah. And then he does that bit where he just says one word, but the subtitles keep going.
Yeah.
Which you used again in Austin Powers.
That's
later
right.
On.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Austin Powers scenes.
For sure. Mike Myers has a style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was this before or after So I Married an Axe Murderer?
I think it was.
This is after? No, because this is his debut.
So I think that Married an Axe Murderer came out the following year. But you'll check. You'll check for us. While he's doing that. The few pieces of interesting trivia that I found was, for one, the Garth's dream girl, Dan Aykroyd's wife.
Yeah.
So good job, Dan Aykroyd, of course. Congrats. Yeah. But at this point, this is the second SNL movie, direct connection to the first. Kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're right. That's kind of the only one, huh? It would have been cool if Dan Aykroyd would have shown up in here somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
He could have been the producer.
He 100% could have been the producer.
Yeah, that guy only shows up at the end.
Like one night. Oh, the studio guy? Yeah.
Even Mr. Big, whatever his name is. He's in the limo, it's just his feet.
That's right.
And then
that could have been anyone's feet.
Yeah.
Really, he would have only been there for one day.
Oh, yeah. And he only has like five lines.
I mean, he showed up for more than that for Tommy Boy.
No shit. Yeah. Dan Aykroyd, where the fuck were you? He probably hated Mike Myers, too.
Yeah, like, that's probably
Young fucking kids.
Well, that and also Mike Myers just seems to not have a lot of friends.
Hard to work with. So I Married an Axe Murderer was a year after.
Okay, yeah, that's what.
Big flop.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is crazy.
Considering how big this was, but people didn't care about Mike Myers, they cared about Wayne.
About Wayne, exactly, yeah. And then he was just a guy in So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Yeah. It's like how people thought The Who was named Tommy for like 2 years.
Yeah, yeah. Or Pink Floyd was a guy.
Yeah, Pink Floyd was a guy.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. No, it's a lot of that.
Yeah.
I really like So I Married an Axe Murderer. But So I Married an Axe Murderer is so much more fucking like 90s, 1993 90s guy. Like, this is kind of like, this has like a fantasy feel to it because they break the fourth wall so much.
True.
Because there's weird shit that happens in this movie a lot.
Well, and it's also, I think it rides the line between Mike Myers' actual childhood, which was probably, 8 years before that?
Right.
Or actual, like, teenage years.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's riding that 80s into the 90s kind of slacker.
Right.
Stoner, loser kind of thing. Yeah.
And, yeah, so I Married an Axe Murderer, he's just a guy trying to get into relationships. And it's just like a straight comedy. And even though I like it a lot and it still has a lot of like parody style bits, I can see where, you know, people are like, no, I want like Wayne's World.
The weird shit. Yeah.
But I do like Charles Grodin has a great bit in it. And like, So I Married an Axe Murderer actually I think is pretty funny.
Grodin's always great.
Yeah. But it's such a, like, and we were watching this, I was like, man, people in the 90s had weird fucking like living spaces. But I think So I Married an Axe Murderer is more so like there's, the place where she lives is fucking insane. There's just like giant weird posters and shit. It's like a loft.
I mean, that also might just be movies.
That's true. Remember
the apartment in Big or the house in literally every movie we've talked about?
That's true. The apartment in Big, but he was a kid.
He was a kid. Yeah. That was the whole point. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess you're right. I guess
the fact that like in Dirty Dancing where she just lives in a weird industrial loft.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
They did do a lot of that.
Or Flashdance? It was Flashdance, right?
Right. Dirty Dance.
Dirty Dance
was like a camp. They were like a fucking camp.
Exactly. They're at a fucking retreat resort.
It's fucking weird.
Yeah. We don't need to re-legislate our feelings on those
Dirty Dancing. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, you might be right. It might just be a movie thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, and also like in the part two, he gets the law. He also lives in a fucking loft.
Yeah.
It's also really fucking rad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Part two is really good.
Part two is really good. And we're not going to talk about it.
No. This, some of the cameos in this thing are pretty amazing. Like Alice Cooper's cameo.
Which evidently, actually, this was great. One of the only other interesting trivia things. And I don't know if this is true because, you know, the internet.
Yeah.
But supposedly Alice Cooper thought he was just doing the song.
Yeah.
Didn't know he would have any lines.
It was like Feed My Frankenstein, right?
Yeah, yeah. And didn't know he had any lines. And then they were like, no, here's what you're going to say. And had to learn it all in like 30 minutes.
Wow.
And well, fucking nails it.
Nails it, yeah. Yeah. Well, he's also like kind of like a history buff, right?
Yeah, he's a smart guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But his whole thing is... They show up to party with him because Rob Lowe did that cool thing where he gave him backstage passes so he can fuck Tia Carrera.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a, you know.
It's a good move.
Yeah. It's a good move. Yeah. Yeah.
I wish I had that kind of money.
I know. This shit.
Yeah.
Just get rid of the boyfriend.
Get rid of the boyfriend with backstage passes while I fuck the hot fucking girlfriend.
Hawaiian chick.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So they go to party with him and then they're very just smart.
Yeah.
Like the whole band is just really intelligent, and all they talk about is like Milwaukee and how it's a Native American word,
yeah.
Milwaukee, and it means the good land and
that's
shit like
right.
that. Yeah, very funny, very fucking
very
funny,
funny
bit.
Stuff, yeah.
Also, for Alice Cooper at the time, was seen as like an extreme, like fucking death metal, not death metal, but you know what I mean, like hair metal guy. He was like talking about eating people and shit like that.
Sure. Well, and I also feel like this was a weird. Like, Alice Cooper had started to dip by this point.
Right, right.
And then this definitely, like, brought him back a little bit.
Yeah, it was like, Alice Cooper, who? Dee Snider's what I'm about.
Yeah, sure.
Actually, probably Dee Snider's probably still out
still,
on the album.
Still dipping.
Yeah, still dipping.
I guess it would 92 would have been, what, Guns N' Roses or Nirvana?
Yeah, yeah. At this point.
Early Nirvana, maybe.
Yeah, and that's the like,
because this is still
evolving.
Right. I mean, this is still, again, very much in that late 80s into the 90s. So
yeah,
it's still the hair
still
metal.
Like Guns N' Roses and
Guns
N'
Roses, Aerosmith,
and shit
Rat,
like Aerosmith.
Yeah.
But this is
pre-Nirvana,
grunge.
Pre-Pearl Jam. Yeah.
So this develops into grunge. Like, these guys develop into the grunge guys.
Yeah. Yeah, if you do this movie
depressed.
In 96,
oh, yeah.
That they're all plaid and it's grunge dudes.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And I think, like, Airheads is right in between the two, right? Because
yes.
Airheads, he's kind of like a pissed off guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And like a grungy guy. They're definitely more like a grunge. They're a hair metal band, but they're still like their mentality is more like angry, anti-system.
Yeah.
Type
a little more rage.
Right, yeah.
Rage against.
Rage, which is what, yeah, which grunge did.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, like that's the whole Nirvana's whole thing was against the fucking the machine and all that shit.
Sure, sure.
And then if I remember correctly, Rage Against the Machine was also against the machine.
Actually, ironically, no, very much pro machine.
Very pro machine.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, weird.
Yeah.
I guess
it was like a Little John.
Like a
it was kind of ironic. Yeah,
yeah. Like an ironic. All right.
Yeah. Most of their songs were actually about
like
how corporations were great and
yeah.
the government. You should listen to the government. And the president never did anything wrong.
They were like Rage Against the Machine.
That's
what you would say. Tom Morello was like all pro machine.
Yeah, pro machine. Racism isn't even a thing, so let's not discuss that.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about that.
Yeah.
In any way.
So yeah,
no.
They're very very pro system.
It's just left wing propaganda.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is just Clinton once again. Clinton with his left wing propaganda.
Yep.
We are pro machine. This is what we want.
Yeah.
We want Reagan back.
That's right. They were real hardcore Reaganholics.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the end of the movie, I guess. I don't know.
We talked about it. We're done. You want to fix it?
Yeah, let's fix Wayne's World. How do we fix Wayne's World?
Ooh.
First of all, more Chris Farley.
Oh, wait. Yeah. More Chris Farley.
Because you throw more Chris Farley into anything.
Should have Chris Farley. So I do really like their like three buddies or whatever that do the show with them.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
Should have one of them been Chris Farley?
Well, Chris Farley is one of them in part two.
That's true.
Yeah.
He's the roadie, yeah.
Yeah, he's the roadie in part two.
But should they have just jumped the gun and had him be right in there from the jump?
Yeah. What if
in fact, could all of them be SNL people? So could it have just been fucking Farley, Spade, and McDonald?
Yeah, yeah, you could definitely have done that. Actually, but all right, so that goes back. That's what Adam Sandler is. He's the grunge version.
He's
right?
The grunge Mike Myers who's like, I'm hiring my friends.
It's just like 5 years
and
later.
And it's some and then meanwhile, like the director would be like, Adam, they don't really look anything like 20-year-old slacker long haired
exactly.
dudes. And he's like, nah, who cares?
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. Actually, we're just We're just fucking describing Billy Elliot. I mean, Billy Madison.
Billy Madison,
Madison,
yeah.
Madison Allison is what we're describing.
Yeah. Again, yeah.
Yeah, 5 years later.
5 years.
That's a movie.
Four years later. I don't know.
Oh, man.
I don't remember when Billy Madison came out.
Must have fucking hated Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
Just the same guy, but younger.
But younger. Angrier.
Angrier. Yeah. What if we did...
same level of hot chicks in all of his movies.
Yeah. Yeah. He's banging all of them.
Yeah.
Adam Sandler, I always thought, didn't deserve the hot chick. Where I feel like Mike Myers deserved the hot... like, Wayne kind of deserves a hot chick.
Really?
I don't think Billy Madison deserves a hot chick.
Okay. Billy Madison, yeah, I'm probably with you there.
Yeah. Probably Wedding Singer deserves a hot chick.
Wedding Singer, sure.
Happy Gilmore? And Billy Madison, nope.
No Happy Gilmore?
No. Come on,
that guy's an award-winning golfer.
Yeah, I know. But just rage is off the hook. He's going to kill somebody.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a chick, he raises a lot of red flags.
Okay. Fair.
Like,
fair,
a lot. Fair. He's very angry about everything. His only saving grace is the grandma.
Yeah.
Is that he's doing it for the grandma. That's the only saving grace. Everything else... like, he's wrecking her career. Every time somebody mentions something sarcastic, he, like, pulls up at them. Like, I don't know. There's a lot of red flags.
Yeah.
I don't think it's till Wedding Singer when he's the guy.
He's the romantic lead.
When he can get the chick.
Yeah.
And then he's just doing the Mike Myers
thing. What about Waterboy?
Oh, my God. No. That's you're just taking advantage of a mentally handicapped person. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'm sure that then, he has its perks.
Sure.
Where he's like very attached to you.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know no better.
That's true.
Like, I'm sure he says that a lot to you. Like, so you can't get too mad. It's like a puppy.
Yeah.
You can't get too mad because he wrecked the place. He don't know no better.
He don't know no better. Yeah.
And Waterboy, it's the opposite. His mom is the worst part of him.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, no, not Waterboy. Not at all. He's got weird mother issues, which is another huge red flag.
A red flag. Yeah, you're right.
When you're a girl dating a guy.
It's just like Wedding Singer and, Mr. Deeds and...
No, and even in those, he tries way too hard. At least I think
Mr. Deeds, he's pretty likable.
But, like, the character is, but it's because Adam Sandler is like, I want to be the best guy that ever lived.
Yeah.
In the fucking world.
That's why that movie's not that successful.
That's why the movie's... And
yeah.
Maybe the 30 First Dates or whatever.
Oh, 50 First Dates. 50
First Dates. Yeah. 50 First Dates, maybe, because he works really hard.
Yes.
At it. So maybe that. Like, yeah, when you say that, 50 First Dates.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
And then that's kind of it, I think. Give me a reason why in fucking Grown Ups he's fucking married to...
Who's he married to? Is that Rose Byrne? Who's he married to?
Is it Sofia Vergara?
Oh, he's married to Sofia Vergara, right? Yeah, yeah, I think you're right.
Or is that in Spanglish?
No, it's not Spanglish. I think it is Grown Ups. I think you're right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We should know that. But give me a reason why he's fucking married to her.
Don't you remember that scene where they go to the water park? They have a blast.
Yeah. Him and his fucking friends are always just ditching the wives and kids and fucking doing stupid
shit.
Yeah,
seems awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Seems for him. Yeah, he probably he bagged her early. Oh, no, it's Salma Hayek. Salma Hayek. That's what it is.
That's right.
It is Sofia Vergara in Spanish, I think, and then Salma Hayek in Grown Ups.
Yeah.
When in that fucking movie world does he get Salma Hayek?
Knocked her up when she was a teenager.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. Because he had a band.
Yep.
And she was all about that.
Yep.
Yeah. That's...
He locked it down.
Yeah. Like, we were talking a lot about Adam Sandler. Fixing Wayne's World. Wayne's World, I feel like, earns it.
I don't know. Just make fucking awesome powers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I think if you... I do like the idea of putting more SNL people in it. Maybe like Rob Schneider.
Could you just do the TV show? I mean, is it just Beavis and Butthead, but like more Wayne's World?
Oh man, like a shitty 90s TV show where it's like looks shit. Like a Clarissa Explains It All type of show.
Yeah, yeah, exactly that.
Wow, the 90s had a lot of talking to the camera.
If you just put like it on ABC Friday nights and it's just Wayne and Garth dealing with teenage slacker shit.
How much do you think that they pitched that? And then how close do you think that they made an Uncle Buck style show where it's another person playing?
Because I was like, there's no way that Mike Myers and Dana Carvey are doing it.
No, there's no way. They're too big.
Impossible. But.
Yeah. But like to get like.
Shit.
It's like Wayne's little brother that we never hear about. And then he's
God
got a show
it.
Now.
With Garth's little brother.
Yeah. Something stupid like that. Or like.
Oh
like
man.
With a, yeah.
Who do you cast? It's 1993. Let's say it's a year after.
Edward Furlong.
Fuck, you're right.
Clearly.
Clearly Edward Furlong.
Yeah.
Like Edward Furlong and Edward Furlong. Do you get Leo? Do you get Leo to play young Garth?
Oh, Leo could do. He could have done it.
Yeah.
He could have done it.
Leo and Edward Furlong as Garth and Wayne.
Garth and Wayne's little brother.
Or you just do Wayne and Garth as younger, like in their younger years.
Oh, actually, like middle school.
Yeah, middle school Wayne and Garth.
Yeah, that would have been a show. I bet you they pitched that shit.
And Edward Furlong. We should pitch that now.
Oh, I know. Yeah, we totally. It's like a prequel.
Yeah, show. It's a prequel show.
And you said it back in the fucking 80s because everything is still in the 80s, kind of. 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just in the Midwest.
Just in the Midwest doing their show still in public access because that was still a thing back then.
Yeah, also,
and it's a period
piece.
We
never know at any point how long they've been doing it, yeah. But we know they have a following.
I mean, and they're definitely, if you remember public access, there were definitely teens on that shit.
Oh, yeah. 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 There was a lot of skateboarding videos on that thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking 13-year-old Wayne and Garth.
Like, this is pre like YouTube and stuff. That's how I saw skateboarders eat shit.
Yeah.
Was on public access. Yeah. Late at night. Somebody would just be like, can I just show videos of me and my friends skateboarding? And they're like, we got nothing else, man.
Yeah, go for it, man.
Go for it. Yeah. And then I would see like that fish-eyed lens skateboarding shots. Yeah, you could totally do that.
We have fixed this movie by writing a very professional sounding email to NBC and Lauren Michaels.
I think it was Paramount
for the rights.
That released this movie.
That's true, but yeah. It was courtesy of characters
by
NBC.
Exactly. And I'm sure Mike Myers would be okay with us using this.
Absolutely
characters.
Not.
his character that he developed as like a young budding comedian on Second City.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that, you know, like the one that hit and the one that probably got him the gig. On SNL?
Probably.
I'm sure he'd be okay with us fucking wrecking that.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
All right, we fixed it in a very interesting way.
The guy did the Love Girl. He doesn't give a shit.
Oh, yeah. Jesus. Yeah, Mike Myers, man.
He's had a very weird career from being one of the, 10 biggest movie stars in the world for 10 years?
And also one of the, he's not supposed to be a movie star type of movie stars. Yeah.
To just nothing?
Yeah, to kind of like a joke. He became a joke of himself.
Nothing for the last 12 years, really?
Yeah. Until he makes probably the next Austin Powers. Or Wayne's World. He's come back and he's done Wayne's World for Super Bowl ads.
That's true. They did it for the 40 year.
Yeah, they've done it a couple times for MTV Movie Awards and shit like that.
I hope he doesn't do that, though.
I bet you anything.
It's bad. It's bad now.
I mean, we had a third Bill and Ted. We're probably going to have a third Wayne's World.
God damn it.
Yeah, my words. I feel like... Once the movie industry gets settled back down and shit,
yeah, you're right.
Wayne's World 3. Yeah.
So we fix this movie by giving me additional existential dread about
What do you think?
Aging and the lack of
Wayne's
creativity.
World 3, what route do you go? Do you go they never made it type of
the Bill and Ted
Bill
one?
And Ted way? Or do you go they became
and now they're yuppies.
Not yuppies, but computer programmers.
Yeah.
And shit like that. Like Garth. Oh, there's a bit in this where they're trying to figure out how to get the footage.
He reveals
to
that he's like a super hacker.
Like a super hacker.
Yeah.
So you become Garth is a multimillionaire, a billionaire Silicon Valley guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then Wayne is just playing in his band and shitty.
That's how they probably do it, where Wayne's still a huge loser and then they have to come together because of something.
Wayne is like Fozzie in the newer Muppet movie.
Yeah,
he's just playing Reno.
Yeah. They gotta come together to save Wayne's kid or something.
That's Dumb and Dumber Dumb and Dumber 2, right?
Dumb and Dumber 2.
Yeah.
What would be an actual good way to do this movie, though?
Outer space. They're in outer space now, like Leprechaun did.
Fuck yes.
Yeah. And
actually,
also the Fast and the Furious movie has done.
Yes. Actually, I like this a lot. It's now just a space travel movie. But they're still Wayne and Garth. We still pretend that they're 23 years old.
Oh, so they were abducted by aliens in 96?
Yes.
And then they don't age because they're traveling through space.
Right.
Right? So they're just traveling through space and aliens and they come back. Actually, that's pretty good.
Yeah. So now it's the fish out of water story. So the first 30 minutes of the movie is just wacky space adventures.
Right.
And as we slowly age them, but not really because they're old.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they come back and they're now exactly the same characters,
that's
but they're
Powers.
Out of place. It is, but fuck it. It's Wayne now.
Yeah. Austin Powers.
It's Austin Powers, but it's Wayne now.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So it's just Austin Powers, but Wayne.
Yeah. Well, but it's also Austin Powers.
Also, Space
clearly,
Adventures.
Clearly, Austin Powers was from the 60s, and Wayne is from 1992. Yeah. So completely different plot.
Different plots. Yeah. Also, if we can get some alien shit in there.
I think it works.
That'd be fucking dope. Yeah.
All right. Mike Myers, call us. Finally. Yeah.
All right. We fixed not only Wayne's World, but Mike Myers' career.
Yep. This is the way you get back.
Yep. As you come back.
You're an A-lister again.
Yep. So that's the end of the podcast.
That's the end of the podcast.
We hardly talked about the movie.
I think we talked about the movie.
Enough.
We talked about it.
We talked about bits.
It's great. Again, if you were born between the years 1970 and 1987.
Yeah, this movie.
This movie means
you,
a lot.
Hit you right in your fucking heart. Yeah. Like Animal House did with people who were born in between 1960 and 1977.
That's right. Yeah. Yep. So we'll be back next week talking about a movie that means a little bit less to at least men of our generation, but maybe a little bit more to the ladies. This is the Whitney Houston, Kevin Costner classic, The Bodyguard.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Postman.
Yep. Right,
The Bodyguard.
Waterworld.
I thought you were going to say Postman, Waterworld, or The War, maybe?
Yeah, sure. That's a good movie.
Yeah. One of those.
Dancing with Wolves.
Tin Cup, let's go into the 2000s.
Yeah, Tin Cup, why not?
Yeah. Bodyguard, wow.
Bodyguard, yeah.
There was a song with that movie, and I think it was...
I believe it was Celine Dion's My Heart Will Go On. Yeah.
Nope, it was Tina Turner.
Oh, that's right. There was that song from Beyond Thunderdome. Yeah,
from Beyond Thunderdome. That was the one. That's the one. And if I remember correctly, Kevin Costner sings it.
Yep. A lot of sex. Right.
This is going to be an interesting one. We'll get a guest. We'll get a guest for that.
Yeah, we'll need to.
Yeah, we have to.
Wow. All right. We'll talk about The Bodyguard next week or the week after, sometime soon. Until then, I'm Ichi Seitz.
I'm Francisco Andino.
Wishing you a good night and a good journey.
We love you.